I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good afternoon or morning, whatever the heck it is.
Patrick Manalee.
Patrick has some great hair. His hair was sweet, man.
He was a Bear for a really, really long time.
Three things you got to do. You got to snap, protect, and cover. I feel like I can do all three pretty well.
Score Bears pregame host.
Coaches say you got to go find a butt. You run off a butt. You run off, you know, your jersey's butt.
252 games, zero solo tackles, but all of your hearts.
The level of leadership that he brought in the sense of camaraderie and teammateship.
Patrick Manalee with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Patrick Manalee is brought to you by your local Ford dealers and the Ford Tough F-150, the official truck of the Chicago Bears. You can follow him on Twitter at Patrick Manalee, the WSCR Ameristar pregame host. Watch that all along with us last night, and now you got a chance to sleep on it. Do you know any more about what you think went down or how it went down?
No, I don't, and I think I don't know when we'll find out, but the one thought that I woke up with this morning is, with all this confusion of what exactly happened, is I would like to see my quarterback fight back with the head coach and say, no, you are not pulling me. You know, I just played almost four quarters. I'm finishing this game. You know, I would like to have seen that, and he just walked away from whatever you want to call that little conversation they had was, and just said, okay, I'll put my hat on, I'm done. I would like to see more fight. That's just what I would like to see, and I guarantee you his teammates would probably want to see that as well. And we'll find out, I'm sure, Wednesday on the injury report how injured he is, if he is practicing or not practicing. So I think that'll be extremely telling, but I just would want to see more fight. You know, I think other quarterbacks, other position players, other players would say, no, you're not pulling me out. I can finish this thing with my guys. We'll deal with this week.
I got
week
you
we'll
this far.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I'm glad you made that point.
Yeah.
That's really astute because, to me, it's all about why now?
Mm-hmm.
Why, after all that you've seen, after he leads that 80-yard, 12-play drive, now it's like, yeah, now you don't give us the best chance to win, and that guy gives us the best chance to win. And it doesn't add up. It just doesn't. Something is still missing from what went on.
Yeah, and Nagy was not limiting the play call. You know, everybody's talked about that third and one, but there was another fourth down play where he rolled him out of the pocket to his left. So he wasn't limiting the play, you know, the call sheet for what Mitch's injury, quote-unquote, was or wasn't, but it was an interesting situation. I'll take you into, we were watching the game, you know, me, Big Cat, and Hub, and when we looked up and saw number four in there, we just all turned and looked at each other. Not a word was said, and it was just, you know, like, what the heck is going on? And what was funny is I had the same feeling, and Hub did as well, when the Bears drafted Mitch. Hub and I did the draft show together, and when they traded up and you heard his name, we looked at each other, didn't have to say a word, and we were both like, what the heck is going on? And, you know, it was just an odd feeling, and this is going to be a very interesting week for the Bears and Coach Nagy and Ryan Pace and what comes out of Hallis Hall and how they deal with this.
I really hadn't thought about the option Mitch had to stand up for himself in that moment. And mm-hmm. as a former player, I understand where you're coming from here.
Connor, you see it every week.
Sure.
You see coaches and players, you know, sure. confront each other, argue, push, you know, push them back. Like, no, I'm not coming out.
It makes me worry that Mitch knows Nagy's the only guy who has his back.
Could be, but that's not having your back if you're pulling him when he can still play.
Yeah, well, it tells you just how much of his back he has, I suppose.
Right.
That this is it. I have you up until this point, and he knows it.
That could be it. And that's going to go a long way in the locker room as well. You know, either way, with whether him not fighting back and not showing that fight to want to finish, or that Coach Nagy said, I'm done with you. So once guys are interviewed, other players in that locker room are interviewed, it'll be interesting to see how their answers change, maybe. That, oh, okay, now we're on to Chase Daniel. He's going to give us the best chance to win. Or how they maybe slip up in some of these answers and find out truly what the locker room feels about Mitch.
Yeah, it was also weird that nobody else in uniform seemed to know about the injury, at least the way they were answering questions when asked about it immediately after the game and kind of the scrum, Taylor Gabriel and Prince Amukamara, and everybody's like, wait, what? No, we didn't know anything about being hurt. It's the opposite of what happened in the NFC Championship game after Jay Cutler came out when people were saying, oh, yeah, you could see him quivering in the huddle. He could barely walk, and you knew that it was unstable. And teammates immediately, like, yeah, of course we knew. So it's who's telling whom and what. If the head coach did not know, like legitimately didn't know that he had halftime treatment until the middle of the fourth quarter or whenever it was, why? Why didn't the head coach know?
Dan, you just mentioned a whole lot of problems there. Let me take you on the sideline when a player's injured, especially a quarterback during the game. The backup quarterback is getting game ready. He might be taking a snap with Cody Whitehair during the second half, just knowing he might need to be ready. He's going to keep his arm loose. He's going to, when he can on the sideline, throw the ball around. I don't know if that was happening or not with Chase Daniel. That should have been happening if they knew he was truly hurt and there was a chance that he could be pulled out. I've seen that happen before. And that, to me, was a little bit telling to see that almost Chase Daniel was leaning in on that conversation, like, what's going on? Do I have to go in now? What's going on?
Yeah, we had a caller just pointed out, asking, saying it looked like he had the Gatorade cup in his hand and his hat on. His earpiece was still attached to his shoulder pads.
Yeah, we just watched it back. His earpiece is still tucked into his shoulder pads.
Yeah, to me, that tells me that just even says more to the situation, how odd it is that he should have been getting loose. If you know your guy in front of you could potentially be pulled or is injured, you need to be game ready. You need to be, seen on the sideline throwing the ball. And if he was doing that, I guarantee you the telecast would have said something that if he was doing that. But to me, that was kind of telling a little bit as well that Chase had no idea.
Well, unfortunately, this team has a lot of practice on how to manage or not manage a story given a kick that was from the wrong hash and in the wrong place and decided the wrong way. Do you expect they learn something from the way they mismanaged that earlier in the year?
I do. I think they learned something there. But what Matt Nagy told me about not going for that second kick is that he kind of lied to us about how confident he is in his kicker.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Because if you truly have his back and he misses the first one, you send him right back out there.
Mm-hmm.
You don't play scared. You don't kick scared. You don't go into that situation scared. You send him right back out there. And then obviously on the third one, you had to send him out there. You're just begging for points. But that was telling to me that they truly do not trust him.
So
that's a 47, 48-yard field. It's a 48-yard field goal. The second one is a 48-yard field goal in L.A. at night, 80-degree weather, 5-mile-an-hour wind. You send him out there.
Yeah, you got to knock that down. Yes. In the post game, Pat, I almost give Matt Nagy a pass, or at the very least just don't care about his answer regarding Eddie Pinheiro. And tell me if I'm wrong, but it's only because I know at the end of the day it's not Matt Nagy's call whether or not kickers come in on Tuesday. That's a decision Ryan Pace has to make. And in the aftermath of a game where he has pretty clearly made some questionable decisions about the state of his quarterback, I'm going to go ahead and push aside his answer on the kicker. Am I doing the right thing with that?
Yeah, because it is a Ryan Pace issue. It's like him pushing the Colin Kaepernick situation up to all personnel stuff right now is Ryan Pace. But here's the problem, guys. You know who the best kicker on the market is right now?
The best kicker, is it Cody Parkey?
Yep. I did some digging. I called some buddies, some former kickers, and some kicking people about it. And I said, give me the top two. And they said, you don't want to hear it. I go, okay, that's obviously Cody Parkey. And then number two, one guy said, is Matt Bryant, who's what, 49 years old or whatever he is. And, the Falcons cut him because he's just too old and was inconsistent. So that's what's out there. That's the problem right now is I think one reason why they've said that, maybe they've talked about it, maybe he's not making his kicks in practice, and they've evaluated who's out there, and they said, well, this is the best guy out there. That's all we got.
Matt Bryant is 44, and I just pulled up a Google search. The images make him look like Steve Austin's dad.
Yes, he does.
I don't
looked that way for like 10 years.
I'm confused as to how you get back into routine now, because that game threw off so many things and so much seems unsettled that Can they still have just regular meetings, business as usual? All we're thinking about is the Giants, just looking forward to them. Or does the atmosphere up there get just unavoidably strange?
Oh, I think it's definitely going to be strange in that locker room a little bit, because I'm sure they have questions about why Mitch was pulled. I'm sure some guys this morning are waking up saying, oh, is it really, you know, is he injured that bad if they don't know him that well? I'm sure maybe some of the guys that know him well have talked to him on the bus ride or the plane and know exactly what's going on. But there's going to be some other guys. I know in my younger years, you didn't know everything. And you're wondering, did he get pulled? Is Chase Daniel going to be our quarterback going forward? What's going on here? And you'll find out Monday or Tuesday or whenever they have their first team meeting that you hope that Coach Nagy addresses the team, addresses the situation, declares who the quarterback is going forward, and tries to get it back as normal as possible. That's what I would like. But it'll be interesting. I'm sure there's a lot of talking. I'm sure there was a lot of talking on the bus and plane between other players on the way home, but it's Matt Nagy's job to try to get it back to as normal as possible. That's the best way they could get things going to finish out the season, is try to get, you know, back into routine, get the guys' minds right just for the New York Giants, just for next Sunday, to try to just win that game. As we've seen, you know, this season's loss, they've got a lot of work to do for the future. And that's, to me, is what Matt Nagy has to do, is keep this team together, keep this team focused. Don't allow some finger pointing. Don't allow some questioning about what's going on at Hallis Hall, and try to keep this thing together and try to squeak out a couple more wins and truly get ready for next season. And that stinks, because we have to talk about that for the rest of the year. And I'm just being selfish in that regard.
You know, not for nothing, I thought Roquan Smith played his ass off. I thought Ha, yes. Clinton Dix and Eddie Jackson had great games. I am still, though, surprised that given two playmakers, two wideouts being out for the Rams and two offensive linemen being done, that the defense wasn't even more successful than they were.
Yeah, zero sacks. I mean, zero sacks. We got on the pregame and we talked about, my key was which O-line plays better, which O-line protects the quarterback better, because you know, the whole narrative before the game was how bad Jared Goff's been playing, how poorly Mitch Trubisky's been playing. And my key was who could protect their quarterback so they could actually complete some balls and also run the ball up front with that O-line. And I didn't think the Rams were going to be able to do it. You know, with the guys they had in the weeks prior, and they were banged up a little bit, they were not protecting well. They were not running that well. And the one part was Sean McVay was not committed to the run. But, you know, when you get a new young O-line like that on the right side they had, you have to commit to the run, and they did it, and they even did it against the 6-1 that the Bears were running all day, and they protected decently. They gave up zero sacks to Khalil Mack, Leonard Floyd, Eddie Goldman, you know, Roy Robertson-Harris, the blitzing linebackers they tried to bring. And that to me was the biggest problem with the game, that they should have dominated up front. That's the position group, the D-line and those outside linebackers. Going into this game, you say, all right, guys, you have to win this game for us. That's their weakness. You are our strength. Go out there and win this game. And they didn't do it.
How can I criticize Khalil Mack fairly, understanding, fully aware, that if an NFL team sends two or three guys to try to stop you, it is a very difficult proposition? Should I be focusing attention on the guys who then theoretically should be freed up to win their one-on-ones or one against a chip matchups? Is it more on Leonard Floyd because of the attention paid to Mack? I mean, I would have to go back and watch every single play. There were several holds that I thought went uncalled.
Yes.
But I want to be fair if I'm asking Mack to be more productive.
Well, if you're looking at the Bears and their personnel specifically, in my opinion, you've got to look at Leonard Floyd. He's got to step it up. He's another first-round player that's not playing to where he was drafted. You know, he's a high first-round draft choice, and to me, you should be licking your chops every Sunday to go out there and be productive, because you do have Khalil Mack on the other side. He's not producing. And I'm kind of shocked. But I also think that Khalil Mack still needs to produce a little bit. He's been double-teamed, triple-teamed his entire career, and he's still gone out and had double-digit sacks, been NFL Defensive Player of the Year. Those one-on-one matchups he does get, and he does get a few, he's got to win those. He's got to be disruptive. He's got to understand, all right, this is the one I've got to win. Maybe if he sees that there isn't a tight end lineup next to him, or understands that the back's not chipping, he's getting a free release, that I've got to win that one. But I put it on the other side. I mean, Leonard Floyd really has to be more productive, and he's not doing it.
I got two numbers for you on these quarterbacks. One surprised me, one did not. This from Next Gen Stats. Goff was pressured on only one of 18 dropbacks, the lowest pressure rate of his career. Mitch, check me if you think the same way about this offensive line, or the Bears offensive line last night. Mitch was pressured on just 5 of 44 dropbacks. That's 11%. And still, wasn't very good at all. Does that make sense with what you saw from the Bears' offensive line last night?
I thought they played decent against a front that's that good. Yeah, I do. I thought that. And, you know, what's sad is after the game we were talking that Mitch wasn't playing that bad to get pulled. And all that says is where we have a level of confidence in him and what his play is.
Yeah.
It's kind of bad that, you know, we're like, oh, he's not playing that bad, but it is kind of poor. There's some throws he should have made. But there's also the drops. Connor, I heard you at the beginning of the show talk about, you know, the points of the game, and the drops were huge. And two of them were on third down, or one was on third down, one was on fourth down. Another one was to Allen Robinson that would have been a huge gain that was dropped. And those are obviously drive killers, but those are confidence killers for Mitch. And it's all the above for this team right now, from kicking to coaching to quarterback play to defensive line not getting sacks. But again, the defense held them to 17 points.
Yep.
You should win the game.
Yeah, I still think your initial point is really still resonating with me. The mm-hmm. idea that your quarterback, your leader,
hell
the
yeah.
guy that's been yeah. out there, the guy that's had he stood there and had he said, "No, not today, coach. Not like this, not today. I've got enough that I need to be out." And the way he said it, cuz now I'm hearing the cut that we played from Trubisky and how bereft he sounded about being removed, about out there with my guys, with my teammates. That how bad he felt, that maybe if he had it to do all over again, he might agree with you.
I wish he would have come out and said, you know, I didn't want to come out, but Coach Nagy said I felt I wasn't playing well enough with my injury. You know, come mm-hmm. out and say that. That would have been the way to do it, and show your teammates that, hey, I didn't pull myself out. I didn't agree to it. I wanted to stay out there and fight with you guys.
Mm. Yeah, it's almost like they gave him the out, and he didn't know enough to take it. You know, it's like had he said, yeah, I was done, it locked up on me and it was getting worse and I couldn't, I would love to have been out there, it kills me that I couldn't do it, but instead he went in between, he didn't grab the cover of the injury and instead just said they made that call and it sucks that I can't be out there, and that's what made it all weird, because you could have gone either way. You know, you could have gone either way and say, hey, talk to him. I wanted to be out there. I was fine. They said I wasn't fine. Or he could just say, yeah, I'm totally hurt. But the fact that it's in between there is what makes it weird.
And that was an opportunity for him to step up and show his personality that he's a fighter and that he's the leader of this team. And he didn't do it. He kind of just maybe showed us exactly who he is.
You know, yeah, I mean,
he's not sure who he is yet. He's not that fiery leader. He's not that. You know, he's not gonna stand up to everybody. He's not gonna do it. That's just maybe that was a really telling moment in about his personality and who he really is.
That's really good to sort of inject that into the discussion. Good conversation.
Thanks, Pat.
Appreciate it.
All right, guys, we'll talk to you soon.
That is Patrick Manley.
Okay, picture this: it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.